Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kingdom. Today is May 28th. It is Thursday, and the Kingdom assignment for today is relish in God's glory. Relish in God's glory. Relish means to greatly enjoy. So today God is telling us, he's summoning us to greatly enjoy his glory. Our base scripture is Romans 5, 1 through 5, King James Version. And the base scripture says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I thank God for this morning that he's given us. I thank God for watching over us last night and protecting us. I thank God for restoring those things which were taken away from us. I thank God because he is faithful in all that he does. And you know what? God manifests himself each day to us. We ought to be in expectation. You know, as I was researching this podcast, this topic, I was thinking about how awesome it is for God to want to manifest his glory so that we can greatly enjoy his glory. And I don't know about you, but I certainly would want to be in his glory, because one thing that's for sure is wherever God's glory is, that indicates that that's the presence of God. So we should be looking for God's glory, and we should be, you know, wanting to move forward. In order to relish God's glory, you must relish righteousness. You've got to relish righteousness in order to relish God's glory. That means that God is not going to have his glory be mixed with unrighteousness. He's not going to have it associated with evil and darkness. He's not going to have it associated with sin. God's glory is relished with righteousness. If you are willing and available, you're in expectation of God. You'll enjoy miracles and the presence, the joy, and all of the other manifestations of God's glory. And so we've got to be mindful in expectation of God to perform and to deliver for us. And so God is saying, come, my daughter and my son, enjoy me. Enjoy my glory. Enjoy what I have for you. Enjoy the gifts that I've set aside for you. Enjoy the blessings that I've set aside for you. The base scripture also mentioned not just the glory, not just blessings, but also tribulations. So, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, because we know that through trials and tribulations, God gets the glory. And, you know, if we know that God's getting the glory, then we know that going into the trial and tribulation that we have the victory, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so God is saying, come, enjoy my glory, relish in my glory, know that you are a conqueror, know that you have the victory, know that I am working, performing a work in you. I'm working patience and experience and hope, and I'm building you so that you're not ashamed of me. I'm building you so that you're not ashamed of the truth. I'm building you so that you're not ashamed of the gospel. And so the story, you know, that God dropped in my spirit was Exodus 24. It's chapter 24, verse 12. That says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. And this was, you know, when God called Moses to come up to him on Mount Sinai and to receive the written Ten Commandments for the children of Israel. And, you know, when God calls us to a place, you know, God is calling us to a closer relationship with him. God is calling us into fellowship. God is calling us into communion. Yes, we will. You know, God is giving us something. He's imparting wisdom and knowledge. He's giving us, you know, there's promises that he's given us. But we should always be focused on the communion. We should always be focused on the relationship that God has with us and that God wants with us and that we have with God. And so, you know, what's so spectacular about this story, God said, I need to fellowship with you. I need to impart some things into you. Moses was leading the children of Israel out of bondage into freedom. And in order to do that, they came out of a captivity. Now they were in the wilderness, and there needed to be some structure. There needed to be some law. And so God called Moses, drew Moses to him, called him up to Mount Sinai so that he could establish some things. And Moses was willing and available and went up to the mountain. And he, you know, went up there, and he communed in fellowship with God. And, you know, after he came down from his fellowship and his communion with God, there was a glow about his face. The children of Israel saw Moses, and when they saw him, they saw, you know, this difference in Moses. They saw the presence of God. They saw that Moses had been in the presence of God. In fact, they feared it. You know, sometimes if you don't know what it is to be in the presence of God, you know, you will fear what you don't know. It's the unknown is what it is. And so, you know, Exodus 34, verse 29 says, now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And so he had spent deep communion. He was in deep communion with God. And he was radiating. And he reflected God's glory. He was a mirror of God's image. And so with that communion, you will become more like God. You will become closer to God. You will have visible reflection of God's glory. It will shine on you. It will shine on your face. And so that's what God is calling us to a closer relationship. So God says, come, relish in my glory. You know, in the Bible, you'll notice that any time that God wanted communion, even in the Garden of Eden, I say this before in a sermon, where, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they didn't have to come up to the mountain. They didn't have to do any of these things. The only thing that they had to do was be in the place where God created them. God visited them. He met them where they were, and he walked and talked with them each, in the evening of the day. He walked and communed with them. And, we were robbed of that. Sin robbed us of the opportunity to see God face to face and to walk in the evening with God in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, he did that. But any time after that, he called up, called his people up to the mountain to see his face and to commune with him and to see his glory. In Mark 3, verse 13 and 14 was when he appointed the disciples. And when he came up on the mountain, this also happened on the mountain. When he came up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And so you got to understand that anytime God is calling you to the mountain, God is calling you to his glory. God is calling you to his mercy seat. God is calling you to sit at his feet and to sup with him and to commune in fellowship with him and to become more like him and to become spiritually mature. God is calling us to that level. God is calling us so he can promote us, he can push us out into preach and teach the gospel, and to allow other people to revel, to allow other people to relish his glory, to allow other people to become one with God, and to be the mirror of God's presence, to be the mirror of God's image. And so God is calling us to the mountain. He's calling us up to the mountain so that he may become deeply intimate with us. He may spend quality time with us. We have to get in that word, and we have to pray daily, and we have to pray regularly. And so you got to understand that God, when he's calling you to the mountain, when he is reaching out for you, when he's extending his hand to you, he's saying, come to me, seek me. Proverbs 8 and 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. And so God is saying, come up higher. Come and sup with me. Come build relationship with me. And so, you know, God will speak to us, and then God will hear us. And so we've got to get in a place where we can hear and we can talk to God and we can hear from God and we can get that guidance and instruction. You know, so many people, they want to ask you for prayer. They want to ask, could you pray for me? And there's nothing wrong with you seeking for some your brothers and sisters to touch and agree with you. But you got to know how to seek God for yourself. Yes, your sisters and brothers are there to touch and agree with you and to pray with you, but not, for you. It's okay for us to pray for you, but are you praying for yourself? Do you know how to reach God yourself? Do you know how to relish God's glory? Have you ever seen God's glory? Have you recognized his manifestations? You know, we've got to search ourselves, because if I were you, I would want to see God's glory. I would want to see his manifestations. Remember, you are thirsting after righteousness, and you're diligently seeking God's glory. You're diligently seeking God. So in order to see seek. You know, when we used to play hide and seek, there was effort in hiding, and there was effort in seeking. And so God is saying, put some effort into seeking me. Put some effort. Get in that word and let that word become you. Start to pray and pray like never before. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't know how to pray. You know, I talk to God just like I'm talking to you. And God will begin to just word your mouth to drop and impart in your spirit and your heart the things to say. God will begin to teach you how to pray. The word, if you get in the word teaches you how to pray. The word is God's voice, and it's speaking to you daily. The word is that thing that guides and it moves you into the right direction. The word is the thing that allows you to seek after the righteousness. You know, we're not perfect, but we should always be seeking righteousness. The word is that thing that humbles you when you need humbling. It is your all in all. God is everything. And so you've got to, you know, seek God. I'm in a place now to where I seek God for everything. Every single thing, no matter how small, no matter how big, I seek God because I don't want to make the wrong decision. I need to be led by God. And you know, the thing is, you get this urgency, this sense of urgency in your, you know, just your spirit, in your heart, that every situation needs to be led by God. I don't want to be led astray. One mistake could put you off course. And it doesn't say that we'll never get off course, that we ought to recognize it, and we need to get back on course quickly. Repent and ask God to forgive you, and keep moving. God says, relish in my glory. God's glory is everywhere on the face of the earth. But if you're not in acknowledgement, you're not recognizing it, and you are not willing to greatly enjoy his glory, you'll miss it. And so God is saying, come up to the mountain. Come up to where I am. Come to me. And so we've got to, you know, God, we got to step up. We got to step up. We can't always stay in the same place. We have to step up. And we've got to do what God is telling us to do. We're in the last days, and God is visible. He's ever present. He's all around us. And so we've got to understand that God is saying, step up and meet me. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I've heard your prayers. I've heard your cries. You've got to step up. You've got to get in that word. You've got to mature so that I can give you an understanding. You've got to mature so that I can give you my word and my promises. You've got to mature so that I can manifest myself to you and through you for my people. Step up. Come up to the mountain so that I may create in you an image of me. Thus saith the Lord. I thank God for your listening ears. I thank God because he yet visits us each day. I thank God because he's so mindful of us. Even when we're not mindful of him, even when we turn our backs on him, even when we walk away, even when we ignore him, God is yet standing there, and he is there offering us words of wisdom, truth, knowledge, and understanding. He's there to offer us everything. God is our source, and we've got to recognize that he is our source. It's not until you recognize that he is our source that you will begin to just, your mind will be renewed, your mind will be more focused, because if he is your source and you are not for righteousness, when you begin to seek righteousness, you've just tapped into your source. So if you're not seeking righteousness, then you're walking away from your source. And you put your trust in man and in situations and in things. And God is saying, trust only in me. Trust only in me. If you find yourself in situations where you're trusting other things and you're not trusting God, God is removing things. God is removing people. I can remember one time I was talking to a young lady, and she was saying, well, God told me that he was my husband, and God told me, you know, and because God told me that, I love this guy dearly, and I this and I that, I'm going to do the best of this and that. And I told her, I said, be careful. I said, be careful. Seek God and put this man before God. I say, present him to God. And let God do the work in him. I said, because if you're too focused on this man, you've now just made this man an idol. And God don't like any other God. He will not have any other God before him. So God will smash idols. And it is very dangerous to put another person before God or another situation or a thing, because those things become idols. And we're dealing with a lot of idolatry in this world. We're dealing with a lot of it. And God is smashing the idols. He is removing the idols. So take inventory over your life and see if you have any idols. And if you have, repent. Repent and walk away from those idols. You don't want people to be in the way of your relationship with God. You don't want situations to be in the way of your relationship with God. You don't want your work. You don't want your car. You don't want those things to distract you and keep you from receiving what God has for you. You don't want those things to keep you from hearing from God, because God will remove them. I thank you again for your listening ears. I thank God for the word that he's delivered to us this morning. I thank him because he's faithful in delivering each word to us each morning to give us guidance and instruction. I thank God for all things. I thank Unbroken Light, that is a band that has contributed some music to me for these podcasts. You can reach them on the website, unbrokenlight.com. You can also reach them on their Facebook page. They have an Unbroken Light Facebook page. Also, I can be reached on Provoking Thoughts with Prophetess Sonya Butler. That's my Facebook page. Also, my website is provokingthoughts.us. My email is ptwithsbutler@gmail.com. Be blessed.